It's all because of that one King that brought eternal hope to us all. I have something I want to read to you this morning. It's something that Sister Mary Beth gave me last Sunday. And this really goes toward more of our veterans and our military personnel. It says, 'Twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who in this home did live. I looked all about, a strange sight I did see, no tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking, no by mantle, just boots filled with sand, and on the wall pictures of far distant lands, with medals and badges, awards of all kinds. A sobering thought came to my mind, for this house was different, so dark and so dreary, the home of a soldier, now I could see clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to these soldiers who were willing to fight. Soon round the world the children would play, and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and started to cry. The soldier awakened, I heard a rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and soon drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold evening chill. I didn't want to leave in that cold, dark night this guardian of honor so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure, whispered, "Carry on, Santa, it's Christmas Day, all is secure." One look at my watch, and I knew he was right. "Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night." This is by Lance Corporal James M. Schmidt of the United States Marine Corps. As Brother Cameron pointed out very quickly to us today in Sunday school, we need to pray for our military personnel today who are not able to be with their families. And we're very blessed that Cameron was able to come. But he almost was like this soldier who was not able to be home with his family for the holidays. So let's pause for a moment and ask prayer for our military personnel today. And for the protection that they do for our country, and while they're away from their families today. Let's bow for our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our military personnel today who fight for the freedom of our country and to help protect us. We thank you that Cameron is able to be with us today. And Lord, we ask that you continue to protect him and keep him out of harm's way. We ask that you would be with all of our military personnel who are away from their families today and missing this great Christmas season, and be with their families as well to help comfort them in this time. And may they remember why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate it because of you, Lord. I ask now that you would bless the regiment of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the Christmas story this morning. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would bless the reading of your word. And Lord, again, we thank you so much for this time of year of which we celebrate your birth. And Lord, I pray that someone today would, if it's lost, would receive you as their personal Savior and have the best Christmas gift ever. Help me to preach you late in my heart. Continue to bless the remainder of our service and our day before us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is, Who Would Imagine a King? Who would imagine a king? Now, Sister Valerie played this, that name of this song last Sunday in her offertory. Well, I think it was last Sunday, or maybe it was Sunday before last. But anyway, recently, that's the name of a song. But how fitting for this here. Who would imagine a king being born in such a way, and the place in which he was born, and why he was born? Who would imagine a king? It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is. It really is. Now, I realize that the holidays come with a little bit of stress and sometimes a lot of stress, and you've got the hustle and the bustle and so on and so forth. But it truly is the most wonderful time of the year. Today is Christmas Eve. And we have gathered together today to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we go on in our sermon this morning, the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus were not very royal at all. My first point is when he was born. When he was born. In verses 1 and 2, we see where Jesus was born during the taxing and census season. Now, let's learn a few facts here this morning. Number one, this time of the year when Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem, leaving Nazareth of Galilee, coming down, they were coming there because of the taxing that was done, and also of the census during the time of Caesar Augustus, who was in control of the Roman Empire. And so they had to go to Bethlehem. Well, we must remember that, number one, this would not have happened during the winter season. All right? Just letting you know, they wouldn't have done it. Number two, we must understand that the weather is very similar in Israel as it is here. It really is. When we went to Israel a couple years ago, we went at the beginning of March. They said, get ready for South Arkansas weather. I said, all right, I'll go for cold and for hot. And guess what? I had to wear clothes for cold and for hot. It really was, you know. So number three, this could not have happened when he was born during the winter months because of the possible bad road conditions. So a census would have been pointless. Okay? Believe it or not, in the northern parts of Galilee, It's very, very cold right now. They've even got snow in some parts up there. I mean, they've already got snow up in northern Arkansas. Okay? So if you've got to travel to do a census and pay taxes, you're really not going to get a really good, accurate thing to be done. And then people will be punished because of the weather, so they wouldn't have done that then. We also find out in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country, that's there in Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, under this, we must understand that December is cold and rainy in Judea. Well, guess what? That's kind of like it is here. It's cold and wet. Shepherds would have their flocks in a safe place during this time. And if you do a deep study of how shepherds take care of their sheep during that time, and even today in the Bedouin people, I mean, they risk their lives for the sheep, the shepherds do. And because they're very fragile creatures, we are too, if you think about it. And so in the cold and winter nights, they wouldn't be out and about wandering. No, they'd keep them in a warm place, sheltered in the cold time of the day. And because of these two factors, of when the census was done, and also of the shepherds here with their sheep, Jesus would have been born during a warm and possibly drier month, like sometime in the summer or early fall. However, we choose to celebrate this day of his birth. But really and truly, we should celebrate his birth all year long. But I want you to understand the important thing here is that Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, Son of God, was born at the absolute perfect time. I want everybody to turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The Bible declares to us, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Jesus Christ was born at the absolute perfect time. God knew what He was doing. He knew the time in which He should be born so that His word would be fulfilled to redeem us all. My next point this morning is where He was born. Verses 4 and 5 of Luke chapter 2, we discover that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, I like this, y'all. He was born in Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem in Hebrew is Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't it awesome to know that the bread of life was born in the house of bread? I love it. God knew exactly what He was doing. Oh my goodness. Bethlehem, the city of David. That's where David was from. Small city. It's even a small city even today. And it's overrun with people, population-wise, but the actual size of the city is still real small. An insignificant place when you consider the rest of Israel. But it's not insignificant to God or to us. It was long foretold that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be born here in the house of bread. Everyone please turn to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, if you've been studying your books of the Bible, You'll be pretty good to find this one, right? Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 in the Bible declares to us, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." You see, he was born in a little place. Not a big place, but a little place. Remember, he lowered himself. Remember? He made himself a little lower than the angels that he might redeem us from our sins. The most unlikely of places is where Jesus was born. But you know what is amazing? Is that the Hebrew people knew that the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem. But they weren't even looking for him. They weren't. So, he was not born at the capital. The capital is and was Jerusalem. Side note, Israel is loving our country right now. They really are. Now, before this, they might like us. Now they're really loving us. Billboards all over the place. God bless Trump. God bless the USA. Wow, thank you. We appreciate that. The rest of the world hates us, but I don't really care about the rest of the world. I care about God and our relationship with Israel. But he wasn't born at the capital. You notice, of course, remember the wise men, they come later. They don't come at the time of his birth. All right? They come later. But where'd they go first? They went to the capital. Why? Because that's where the king rules, right? And he was born. And he is, and he was, and will ever be the King of kings and Lord of lords. But he wasn't born at the capital. He didn't live at the capital either. And guess where else he didn't live? He didn't live at a palace. He wasn't born in a palace either. When the wise men came, they came to the palace of the king, expecting to find the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there. There was a king there. Herod the Great, wicked man that he was. Said, "Yeah, why don't you go find that king for me? Tell me where he is." Well, then they went back to the scriptures and said, "Okay, let's go back to Bethlehem." And there they found him. Because they had come back for doing the census and the taxes again. Of course, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And so the angel warned the wise men to don't go back to Herod. Leave and go a different way. And then God told Joseph, take the lad and get him out of the country. And when the wise men didn't go back to Herod, he was furious. And then had all the baby boys from 2 years old and under killed in that region. But it didn't get Jesus, because God was in control. Jesus, in verse 7, was born in a stable. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't even born in a room, y'all. He was born amongst the cattle, the sheep, all those nasty animals. He was wrapped not in a warm, fresh, clean blanket. He was wrapped in rags. Filthy, nasty rags. And then he was put in a feeding trough. Now I've showed y'all a picture of that feeding trough, that manger, there in Israel. They carved it out of stone or wood and put it in there for the animals to eat out of. And that's where Jesus' first bed was. Not very royal, is it? In fact, it's not even a very sterile or pleasant environment. Most people today would cringe at the thought of a baby being born in such horrible conditions. Oh my goodness, of all the unsterile things that are in a stable. Of all the dirt and the mess, and I mean just ugh. And then you're going to have a baby in the midst of all of that. Wrap him in the most unclean thing you can imaginable and lay him down in the most unclean thing imaginable. But that was our king. Who would imagine a king being born in a place like this? Well, it brings me to my last point of why he was born. Why he was born. Very plain, verses 8 through 11. Jesus was born to save us from our sins. That's why Jesus was born. Everyone, please turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Begin reading in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's our king, y'all. He was born to save us from our sins. He was born to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we find out a very interesting thing. And why he was born. Verses 15 through 20, we see that Jesus came to even the lowest of people in society. Did you know that in their culture, shepherds were considered a low-class citizen? They really were. Oh yeah, the sheep were necessary for their culture, but they were a low-class citizen. And isn't it amazing that the heralding from God throughout the heavens through the angels wasn't made in the palaces of kings? It wasn't made in the temple with the priest or in the synagogue with the rabbis. It wasn't made among the self-righteous Pharisees of Israel. It was made to the lowest people of the shepherds. They were just pretty much doing their job at night, watching the sheep. And all of a sudden, an angel appears before them. And they got scared, and I don't blame them. I'd have been scared too. Ooh. He said, hey, don't be scared. I've come with the best news you'll ever hear. Ah, yeah. You shepherds, I'm going to tell you something. Today, at this very moment, a little baby boy has been born right here in Bethlehem. Remember, they were on the outside of the city. Right here in Bethlehem, a baby boy has been born. But he's not just any baby boy. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. And then the host of angels appeared with that angel, and they began to praise God, singing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, because Jesus Christ had been born. Well, when they went away, guess what they did? Now, this is very unorthodox. They left the sheep. They left their sheep. You just, as a shepherd, you don't leave your sheep unguarded. They'll wander away. Animals will attack them. Robbers will get them. But they left them. You know, we don't always look at that. But they left them. Why? Number one, they had faith in God to take care of it. Because God had sent His angels to declare unto them that the Messiah had been born. Believe it or not, even the shepherds looked for the Messiah before He was born. And God made a point to tell them He'd been born. And they even knew how to find Him in the most unlikely of places. But they knew where to go. And when they found baby Jesus, now this is odd. He's in a manger, a feeding trough. In a stable. Mary and Joseph are in awe. And Mary's, you know, recovering from giving birth. And all of a sudden, these shepherds come in this open stall, pretty much. And they bow down. They bow down to the King there in that stable. And it says that they worshiped Him. You know what that means? They just didn't bow down. They got completely down, face down to the ground. Humbled themselves before that baby boy. Because He was the King of kings, the Savior that would redeem us from our sins. And it didn't end there. They got up and they went out praising God that they had seen the Messiah. Joseph and Mary were just kind of confused and overwhelmed, but the shepherds weren't. You see, Jesus, He was born to save everybody. Black, white, Hispanic, rich, poor, criminal. It didn't matter who you are or who you were. It doesn't matter at all. Jesus came to save you. In fact, in Luke 19:10, Jesus made it very clear of why He came Himself. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. God created man and woman. Then the fall of man happened. That point, it was prophesied there in Genesis that Jesus was going to have to come. He was going to have to come and die for our sins. And bruise that old serpent's head, the devil. Prophesied down through the ages, the Messiah is going to come to redeem us from our sins. And by the way, they were saved the same way back then as we are now. God pointed to them in the tabernacle. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Everything about it, you need Jesus. Coming down on in the Old Testament. He's going to come, and this is how He's going to come, and this is what He's going to do. And then He's born, just like God said He would. You know, out of all the things that people celebrate Christmas, I hope that we would celebrate Christmas the right way. We celebrate it because Jesus came to save us from our sin. And I hope and pray that each and every one of you can say that you know Jesus Christ personally. And I mean personally. That you know Him, that He has saved you from your sins. And that you can honestly say that you have peace in your heart today because of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
You know, we can pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for the peace of Israel. We can pray for peace around this world, but peace will never come until people believe in Jesus. That's it, y'all. People can fight and squabble on the solution for peace, but that's the solution of peace right there, is Jesus. But peace will never come. Peace will never come until Jesus comes. Because guess what? The great thing about the Christmas story is that it doesn't end with the birth of the baby boy. It goes on into that Jesus also died willingly for our sins, rose again, and the great news is He's coming back again. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So my prayer is today is that if you have doubt in your heart on whether or not you're saved, that the Lord would make it very clear to you today on whether you're saved or you're lost. And I pray if you're lost, you'll be absolutely miserable until you've received the gift, as the Bible says, and it is, the gift of eternal salvation, so that you might know that peace that Jesus brought and brings to all who accept Him as their personal Savior. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word and for Your birth. And thank You so much, Lord, for my salvation and those that are saved here for their salvation. But if there's someone here that's not for sure if they're saved or lost, Lord, give them complete clarity today. If they're saved, give them peace in their heart. But if they're lost, make them miserable so that they would know that they are lost and need that peace that only You bring. I pray for this church in the coming year that we'll be diligent about Your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.